Oh yeah. The following podcast contains adult content which may not be suitable for some listeners. So if you're under 18, you probably shouldn't be listening. Welcome to Frisky Tipsy Libertines with Scott and Janet, where we explore sex and sexuality under the influence. So sit back, imbibe, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Frisky Tipsy Libertines, episode 7. We are finally back after our sabbatical,
I guess. Hiatus.
Hiatus.
Yeah.
And we're doing something we've never done before. We are doing this over the interwebs.
Yeah.
In two different locations. So if Janet or I sometimes fizzle a little weird, it's going to be because we're doing something we've never done before.
Yeah. We're probably going to have some audio issues in this episode. I'm anticipating that.
You should just go ahead and say that again because you just had audio issues.
Yes, I am anticipating many audio issues on this episode. So we apologize ahead of time if this episode sounds like crap.
And normally, you know, we have a drink of choice for the episode and we talk about it. We go into like how we made it and all the ingredients that goes into it. This time, since we are kind of just in limbo right now, we just said, fuck it. So we're both drinking whiskey. So if you were wanting to drink along with us.
We're just drinking straight whiskey. Yep. I've got some Gentleman Jack.
I'm drinking some Telmer too. And I got a little bit of ice in mine. So So if you want to drink along with us for our drink of choice, it's pretty easy. Just pour some whiskey into a glass and sit back and listen back to us talk.
Or, you know, whatever the hell you want to drink. I feel like our differing drink choices kind of reflect that we are in different places right now. And also, so we don't have any video for this. So we can't see each other.
Right. Yeah, we're not doing this over Zoom. We are literally doing this like pure audio. So we have no way. So there's no reference for the two of us to kind of like look at, like, and kind of figure out what the other person's doing.
We have no idea how each other are reacting to anything.
Unfortunately, like, just the way we have everything set up and what worked easiest for us to pull this off during this episode was just doing straight audio. So there's all that. Moving on.
Even that took us about 2 hours to set up. So.
Yeah, this took way too long for us to set this up. So today's topic is, you want to explain it?
Today's topic is pervertibles. And, in case you have never heard the term before, because it's kind of a recent term for me, pervertibles are everyday items that can be bought or repurposed and used for sexual purposes.
Or something you have laying at home or whatever. Yeah, anything. There is going to be some kink aspect to this episode, so if that's not something you're into, you know, just heads up.
But you should listen to this anyways, even if you aren't into kink.
Right. just because for the fact of what it is, it's just, unless you have a soldering iron and some you know, engineering know-how, you may not be able to like build a vibrator, but there's lots of things you can take around the house and turn into other things.
I don't know. If you have a soldering iron and some engineering skills, you should be building vibrators at home. You've got no excuse not to.
We can get into that.
That's kind of one of my last notes. But anyways, so we chose the topic of pervertibles for this episode because, you know, economically, I don't think we've been worse since the Great Depression. So lots of people are out of work. They're at home.
Right. So we decided, a time we came up with this topic, everything was closed except for like online stores. So we're like, well, it's probably a good time to get creative.
Yeah. And I, well, so sex shops usually sell sexual accoutrement at an increased price, just because they know exactly why you're buying it. But a lot of times you can get the same stuff cheaper elsewhere, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my local sex shops and I do support them a ton, but I also like not spending more than I have to. So
yeah, and there's a lot of things that we're going to cover that, you know, you can, that might cost a lot of money at the shop, but you can make it at home for, you know, next to nothing, or actually nothing. Yep. Depending on what it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can get at the dollar store. I'll say that.
Yeah, I wanted to cover that too. Well, let's start off with the dollar store. So things you can get, like, when I first met my wife, we actually went to the dollar store, and that was actually a goal of ours to see like how much stuff we can get for, you know, as little as possible.
Oh, that sounds like a fun date night.
Yeah, it was actually a lot of fun.
Let's go to the dollar store and see what we can use for sexual purposes.
Okay, so here's a good example. Like one of the best paddles we have is actually a paddle ball. You know, like the little game with the ball and the string. Okay, so I bought a paddle ball. It was a wooden paddle ball from the dollar store. And then I took Gorilla duct tape and wrapped it real tight so it almost looked like leather.
You took the ball off, right?
Yes, I took the ball off. So we used Gorilla tape and wrapped it on one side. And so it was all like, it looked like leather. And then on the other side, I actually glued fake fur to it. So like faux fur to on one side of it. So then that gave it extra weight. So that thing smacks like hell. But then it also has like the really like soft like fur side on your side. Now, if you get like a fur wooden paddle from like a store or online, they're not cheap at all.
And this thing costs me all. Yeah, I know. I got one. Yeah. It's leather on one side and fur on the other.
Yeah, you know, and it cost me all $3. And that thing works great. You know, we've had it for years and it still holds up. So that's just really basic story to kind of kick this whole thing off.
All right, so I don't even know where to begin. So pretty much my show notes for this is I just have a list of items that we can go down and discuss.
Sounds good.
All right, and they are in no particular order. They are absolutely in no particular order. So again, as we said, there's a lot of kink themed items that will just be popping in and out of this. So the first thing that I have on my list is clothespins. Yeah, clothespins can be used for nipple clamps or on the clit.
Or on the balls if you're into that.
All right.
Really anywhere.
Anywhere you want a little extra pinch. It can be too intense for some people, so definitely discuss this with your partner beforehand.
There's also the snake bite kits. Have you seen those?
I've heard of them. Yeah, they're kind of like the suction chamber ones.
Yeah, and you can usually get them at any like Walmart or any place that has like a sporting goods section, and they're designed to suck out venom from a bite. And the packets are like $3 or $4 for like two of them, and they actually were great.
I did not know they were that cheap.
Actually, even some like BDSM like shops online actually sell snake bite venom kits because they're really popular.
That's cool.
Kind of going into your clothespins aspect.
As far as the clothespins go, so pro tip: you can get bamboo clothespins. They're like pretty much the same price as wood clothespins, but they're a smoother material, so you don't get like fucking splinters in your nipples.
Yeah, especially like the cheap, like the really cheap ones will be using crappy, you know.
Yeah, wood. And they kind of like bow out to one side. Like if you get the wooden pack, like the cheapest ones, there are those clothespins that like the two ends like don't meet. They kind of like form an X and they're janky like that. That's a problem that you don't really have with the bamboo clips.
I didn't even know they made them out of bamboo.
Bamboo. It's a great resource these days. It's very green. it
grows
does.
Really fast.
It grows like freaking crazy. But I will say, with bamboo and with wood, warning on that, if you go back to our safe sex toy material episode, they're both porous materials. So anytime it's getting near like bodily fluids, they can't be cleaned after that. So don't use them on multiple partners.
Unless you get the plastic ones. And those are cleanable.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought of that. The plastic ones.
But again, like if you're, but for the gist of this episode, we're talking about like going into like cheaply or, you know, the easiest
the
way
poor
possible.
Man's sex toys.
So you need, yeah, if you go to the poor man's DIY, which is something I live by completely, even outside of like sex. I just, I'm one of those people who try to do everything on my own.
Yeah, Scott and I are very crafty people.
We are. All right, what's next on yours list of things?
Candles. Not just for ambiance, which is also a good way to use candles, but also with wax play.
Yes.
So
I have quite a few candles. And actually, when it comes to candles, cheaper is better. Most time, if you buy the more expensive ones or the ones that are colored, they usually use more stuff in them, which makes them burn slower, which actually makes it heat up and it can actually cause skin damage.
Yeah.
So you want to just use basic white candles.
Yes, typically white unscented candles, because the chemicals and oils that are used for fragrances can trigger allergic reactions in some people. Yeah, so you also want to know that information about your partner before you start using candles.
Do not use the honeycomb-based candles. Because those
beeswax
burn,
candles,
like
you mean?
Ones that burn. Yeah, the ones that burn like super high, high heat, because those actually can like burn skin.
Yeah, so here's some safety tips for using candles. One, you want to blow out the candle first. You want to, like, you know, burn it so that there's a good amount that's liquid, but don't start pouring it with a live flame on the candle. You want to blow it out first. You can test the temperature on your arm first. You know, just like you would test a baby bottle, like test and see how hot it is on the sensitive under part of your arm first. And if it doesn't burn you there, then it's pretty safe to use on your partner. Also, you want to pour them from at least like 12 inches away from the skin that you're pouring it onto, because that gives the wax time to cool on the way down.
Also, just kind of a rule of thumb when it comes to anything, like when it comes to any type of fetish or kink play, like you should try everything on yourself before you dish it out on anybody else. That's kind of a good rule of thumb. Like, if you're not sure about it and you're not willing to test it on yourself, then you should never use it on somebody else.
Kind of my rule. Like, if you won't accept it for yourself, you probably shouldn't be doing it to someone else.
Right. But it's like, if you're not sure about it or the quality of it, or if you're not sure if you like how you like it, then, you know, it's like, well, then probably someone else, you know, even if they have a higher pain tolerance than you, like, you should at least test everything out on yourself.
Yes.
It's kind of a courtesy.
I agree.
Also, you know, safe, sane, consensual.
Yes. Those are all important things.
We really need to do the BDSM episode.
Well, this is going to be some light BDSM.
Yeah, this is kind of like a little bit of
because,
a segue into it, but
because the next thing on my list, and these are both things that you can get at the dollar store as well, scarves and ties, which can be used for three things. You can use them as a blindfold, you can use them as gags, and you can use them as restraints.
Yes, yes, and yes. Yeah.
And they're all very inexpensive items, and actually, like,
and more than likely, you probably have one of those at home at least.
Yeah,
you
know? But actually, it's a safer kind of way for BDSM because these are typically materials that you could, you know, get out of if if you were in that situation.
I remember seeing, I think, I don't remember who had it. It was like the 50 Shades of Grey, like edition or whatever. And they literally had gray Christian's tie. And it was like $15 for like a red tie.
You get it at the dollar store.
Mike, I think everyone, at least every man, has at least probably one tie, maybe, you know? And if you don't, like, yeah, you can get abundance of them at the thrift store for, you know, next to nothing. So if you want to do the 50 Shades of Grey role play, like, tie, it shouldn't
be $15. $15. You know what? I bet that $15 tie isn't even like a nice tie. I bet it's a cheap.
Yeah, probably not.
they know their target demographic. They're not.
It was like a red tie, and I was like, "Why is this a thing? Like, who cares?"
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, they don't have a tie at home. Yeah. Like,
I just recently watched on Netflix the Stephen King Gerald's Game. Yeah.
Gerald's Game.
So. So I'm like, oh, if you're using scarves and ties, you can get out of them, and you won't have to cut your arm off to get out of them.
Yeah, like handcuffs.
But that gave me like a whole new phobia. Like, holy crap, yeah. What if I'm restrained and he has a heart attack?
Right. Fucking great. Well, that's why you always have to come up with some kind of like safety.
Gotta find a way to get out. Yeah.
Yeah, there should always be some kind of safety device in play.
That brought up like a whole new fear. Like, I trust my husband. Like, I know that like he would let me out of the restraints. The thing I hadn't brought into mind is like, oh, he's getting older and and his heart condition will worsen.
It's a heart attack. So, yeah, you know, a scarf might be not too hard to get out of.
Yeah.
I guess belts could be listed under that genre as well.
Yeah.
Because you can use belts to for multiple reasons. You can use them as cuffs. You can use them as, just for spanking and whipping. Mm-hmm. Hell, I've turned one into a collar before.
That's the next thing on my list is dog collar for obvious reasons. I don't think I really need to explain
actually,
that
the
one.
The entire like pet department at most stores, you can, if you're really, really into kinky stuff, you can pretty much like, that's the whole thing about pervertibles. Like, you pretty much have to like really like go down to the gutter. And be like, yeah, okay, let's try that. That might work.
The lady at PetSmart, what's your dog's name? I don't have a dog.
Well, yeah, we have a couple of those items. So yeah, the pet department has all kinds of fun things you can modify into for sex play. What else you got on your list?
Well, wooden spoons, spatulas, and wooden rulers. Not the ones with the metal side, because those can cut into skin. Just straight wooden rulers. And paint sticks. If you go to Home Depot, you can get paint sticks for free. They don't charge you anything for them.
We had several paint sticks at one point, just because it was like, oh yeah, these are free, here you go.
Yep. And those are obviously all for spanking.
So, yeah. Rulers work nice. Especially like if you get like the flimsy acrylic ones. God, those have a bite to them.
Those can break in half.
They're not very expensive either.
The like acrylic ones. Because I've had them break in half before. So that's something to...
I've broken other stuff, but not a ruler. I made a cane from a dowel rod. And I, see, I took a Kindle rod. So
here's
Kindle
rods.
One. I don't know if you had canes on there.
Head on down to Joann Fabrics.
Go to the hardware store. Yeah, or anywhere, you know, buy a Dell rod. I wouldn't get one, you know, I'd probably go for like the half inch or, you know, like 3/4 of an inch thick. Maybe not even 3/4, that might be too big. But half an inch is good width. Has a good, you know, it does that effect. But I took one and I sanded it down completely so it's completely smooth. And then I stained it and I even put polyurethane over it. So it was completely sealed.
Fancy.
And I ended up, breaking that in half with my wife.
That was a fun night for her.
I was so like, no, she was laughing and I was pissed because I spent all this time making this fucking thing and I just snapped it in half.
So rulers also can be a great prop if you're into role play and want to do like a teacher scenario.
Do you have some role play things?
No, I don't have any really role play things. This is basically just a bunch of items that you can use.
Okay. Thrift store. If you're into role playing, a thrift store is your best friend because you can find lab coats, you can find nurses' scrubs, you can find all kinds of stuff for doctor's play, for school, for, you know, you can find all that stuff at thrift stores.
I shop at the thrift store anyways, but...
Oh, yeah, me too. I shop at thrift stores as well, but and there's still that, you know, you could still find all kinds of stuff at thrift stores as well.
Another dollar store item, a hairbrush. So you can use the hairbrush two ways.
Oh, yeah.
You can use the back of it for spanking, or you can use the handle for insertion. However, again, throwback to our body safe materials, if you're going to be using it for insertion, use a condom on the handle because you don't know what material it's made out of.
Right.
All right. This is not a dollar store one, but it is a fun one. Pillows. Pillows can be used in a lot of different ways. In fact, me and my husband are just cheapskates. We've been wanting a Liberator wedge for a while, but they're so expensive. They're like $100+ for these cushions, essentially. So,
did you get one of the medical ones from Amazon?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Let you finish your story.
I actually did have one on my wish list that like the seller stopped selling it, but it was like a bed cushion, you know, for posture in bed. But I'm like, that's a sex cushion.
that's what I was gonna get. They have ones that are designed for people who with like bad backs and stuff, and that's actually made out of memory foam, and they're like a quarter of the price of Liberator. And for those listening, they're like, what the hell is a Liberator? Liberator is a very expensive piece of furniture.
It's basically just like
what
a
it is.
Heavy duty triangle shaped cushion is what it is.
Well, they have those, but they have like cushions all the way up to like they build like furniture, like couches and stuff like that designed specifically for sex.
I've never seen the couches. I know that there's like different ones that you can buy, but I've never seen something large enough to be a couch.
The couch is like $600. And it's like you look at it and you can tell it's like there's no other reason to have this thing other than for sex. It's not like you look at that like, wow, I really sit that. It looks really comfortable. Like, no, it's just has this perfect indentation for two people to just go to town on it. And then like if you go on their website, it has like all these different examples of positions you can do on Liberator.
If you enjoy watching television close to the ground spread eagle, this might be a great couch for you.
So yeah, and also, if you're really crafty, you can even go to like Joann's Fabrics or whatever fabric store you have around you and buy, you know, foam, and then you can make it yourself if you want to make something really elaborate.
Yeah, you could. Although, yeah, craft stores are also kind of expensive in the materials too. Like, and you have to buy than you need. Yeah. So really, it's still expensive and it's a lot of labor for you, but... But just regular pillows, usually two pillows is a good amount of pillows to use. You can use them like either doggy style, where you put them like under you, under the bottom person, which solves one of my problems. So when I'm in doggy style, if he makes me orgasm, I like fall, like my knees just collapse and I go just flat collapse. And that's a problem because he's usually not done yet. And then I have to, like, you know, reorient myself again. But if you've got a couple pillows, a couple pillows under you, you don't have to worry about falling flat because you've got a support system in there. Also, you can do them with, like, I feel like we need a visual aid for this, but you can do them like kind of missionary-ish position where, like, you're on your back and he's above you, but you put like two pillows under your butt, so it's kind of raised, and he's more on his knees.
Oh, so it elevates you.
Yeah. I feel like...
Well, that's kind of what the Liberator is supposed to do, because they have the one that they have like different shaped ones. They have that one that's designed like to like, raise your ass up if you were on your back.
That,
so they have
that's pretty much how
that.
We were wanting to use them.
The Liberator has even like ones you can buy that like. You can buy like three different pillows and you can like transform.
Oh,
them
yeah,
into,
yeah.
Like,
they're they're like adult Legos where you can fit them together.
Yeah. But again, they're very expensive. I think just like their basic like triangle pillow, I think it's like over $100. Like nothing from that company is cheap.
Which, like, if you've never experienced this, I can see how you're going, like, a pillow, really? Like, how is that going to enhance this actual experience? I can tell you, both things that we've used pillows for are excellent for G-spot stimulation, so it really has been a great aid in the bedroom.
What do you got next on here?
All right, next thing I have is coconut oil. You can use coconut oil for lube because it is totally safe with the vagina. But beware, it is oil-based, so it will break down the material in condoms. So
yeah,
I would only use this with for lube anyways, with a partner where you've both been tested and don't have any sort of concerns like that. But you can also use it as a massage oil, too. So.
I knew that, yeah. I never thought about using it for lube. Oh, and I also found, speaking of lube, there is like millions of recipes online to make your own lube. And it's really not that difficult.
Like yam lube?
No, it's like normal, like water-based lube. And a lot of it is like cornstarch. It's like the main ingredient. And then it's just kind of like cornstarch water. You boil it and you let it sit and it pretty much like turns into like lube. So, there's a lot of even, like, vegan options and shit like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah, if you go on Google or whatever search engine you use, you just type in homemade lube. There's tons of options for homemade lube. Because I know sometimes, like, lube can even get expensive.
Good lube is super expensive. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you find a recipe you like. You might be able to save some money just by that premise alone.
Side note, I don't know this is necessarily a pervertible, but it could be. So a new thing on the market is CBD lube, which I have not tried, but I'm very excited to try.
That is interesting.
Yeah, CBD lube is like a new thing, which it's supposed to like have a sort of relaxing effect, which is good.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm curious if like you could make your own lube and maybe like drop some CBD oil in there.
Yeah. But yeah, that
it's
was one
an
of the
experiment
things
to try.
Yeah, that was one of the things that was like really exciting for me personally. I was like, oh, this is really cool, like seeing all these like different like recipes and stuff, like how to make your own lube. Because that's just one of those, I just like fun, weird crafts and shit like that. So for me, I was like, oh, this looks like a cool weekend project. So, yeah. I'm also a person who like tries to figure out how to make their own like wood stain. Like, that's the type of person I am. I'm like, huh, I want to make my own wood stains. What do I use? I want to make my own lacquer. Like, what do I do to make that? So it's like
coffee, probably.
I did use coffee as a wood stain.
Coffee is a good staining agent.
It works really good. If you have a really white wood, like coffee works great for like to just kind of distress it a little bit and to give it a good like walnut color.
If you're staining your custom made sex furniture, you can do it with coffee.
No, I painted ours.
Come on, you're supposed to put the extra love into it. That you need the extra homemade feel of it.
Hey, I met a horse.
So crafty. Yeah. So crafty. Yeah. What a handyman.
Took me like a month to build that thing. It was the most impressive thing I've ever built. I can't show it to anybody.
Well, you can.
There's only been like a handful of people I know have actually ever seen that thing. It's like, here's this thing I spent like all this time working on, and like no one's seen it.
Usually don't keep it in the middle of the living room. So
no, and no, it's funny when it's not it. When it's not in use. It's a clothes rack. It's in our bedroom, so yeah, like we'll put like our clothes on a horse, you know. A spanking bench, you know. It's like
we use it for storage for the cat food.
So yeah,
right, moving anyway. on our list here, next item, this costs you nothing. Ice. Oh, yeah. Ice baby. There's a lot of ways that you can use ice, especially when blindfolded. You know, get out your dollar store scarf or tie, blindfold your partner. You can use it with your fingers. My favorite is to put it in your mouth. And then when the ice cube melts and gets small enough so that it's not a choking hazard any longer, you can then incorporate it into oral sex.
So you can use both. You use the wax and the ice.
Yeah.
And you're shifting between the two. And
alternate hot and cold.
Yeah, which one you're
age at, old not trick. Sure which,
yep, not sure what you're going to be using next. Also, for those into self-bondage, ice is a really good mechanism for the key. So like if you put yourself in self-bondage, you can put the key in ice. And then when the key melts, it's finally for you time for let yourself out.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds ice like a trick I learned in my personal finance class.
I'm not really one for self-bondage. It's not really nothing. I mean, if people are into it, that's cool. It's not really anything for me. But I do know that, like, you know, an ice is really, really good for a time mechanism to let go of a lock.
They told us in our personal finance class that we should, if we had trouble controlling our spending, we should put our credit card in a cup filled with water and put it in the freezer so that it would freeze into a block of ice. And then think about the purchase that you're going to make while you wait for your card to defrost.
My mom told me that too when I was like 18. I was like, what? I was like, have you ever done this? And she's like, well, no. I'm like, why are you telling me this?
You know, and everything's digital nowadays anyway. Yeah, like, so it doesn't even work that way.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna put my cell phone on ice.
Yeah, don't do that. You.
Oh, you'll lose
some
phones.
Money that way. The vibrating function on your cell phone.
Yes. Actually, not. I wouldn't. Probably not on the Apple Store, but I know on the Android or in Google Store there used to be a vibrator option. And you can literally turn. I actually, on my very first smartphone ever, I had an app on my phone that turned my phone into a vibrator.
Hmm.
And it would like put your vibrator on your phone, like in overdrive, and you can actually control all the settings. That's... Now with that, you want to put your phone in something that's water safe. But yeah, you can turn your phone. I know for Android, I'm pretty sure there's still some apps on there. You can turn your phone into all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Fun story. If you're ever on a road trip with someone, I was on a road trip with this guy once. and I fell asleep in the passenger side seat. And I had my phone like in between my legs at the time. Oh. And he was just like, I'm going to wake her up in the best way possible. And then just started like calling me. Because I never have the sound on my phone. I constantly just keep it on vibrate all the time. But yeah, fun trick.
I'm really bad at that because I always have my phone on vibrate too. So. I text you, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't vibrated. If I lose my phone, I'm fucked because I can never find it.
Well, that's why I turned my flash on. There's a setting in your phone where you can turn the flash on. That gives me a little extra backup to where, like, you know, if it's in my gigantic old lady purse and I can't find it, the flash comes on and it's an extra step to help me find my phone if I lose it.
All right, what else you got on the list?
Vegetables.
Oh yeah.
Vegetables, but another warning on that, definitely use a condom with vegetables because they are covered in pesticides and bacteria. That's not something that you want to really insert or into wax. Yourself. So yeah.
And you can do all kinds of stuff with food. I mean,
yeah,
I think there's
that's a whole other thing. Yeah,
there's a whole lot of stuff you can do with food. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, so, just keep anything with sugars away from the vagina.
Right.
Sugars will disrupt the pH balance and cause yeast infections. You don't want that. So,
which we covered on our, I think we covered that on the history of vibrators episode.
Oh yeah, the sex toy. that was the sex toy episode. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think we've covered that.
Numero dos.
Yeah, talking about using food.
Yeah.
And sometimes the dangers of food. Have you ever used Now this isn't a pervertible. Have you ever tried the paint, like sex paint or whatever like that, like the edible
body paint?
Yeah.
You know, I did. It was not good. It's awful. I bought it it was a gourmet like chocolate body paint set is what I bought. Yeah, it was like raspberry truffle chocolate and caramel chocolate, like, but you know, they were like body safe, so there wasn't like sugar in them. So they just tasted like, you know, baker's chocolate. Like it wasn't like like it was just like dry, which is like when you're licking stuff off your partner, you don't want your mouth to be dry.
Yeah, we long time ago, we used this paint that like was like fruity flavored. So like the red was cherry and like the pink was like watermelon or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And it was fucking awful. It tasted so bad. It was like it like tasted like food dye. It was just atrocious. Oh god, it was the worst thing ever. I was like, I never want to use anything with like body paint ever again.
No. Yeah. Oh, what made it worse is so the set came with this brush and it was like, think of the cheapest, like most straw-like paintbrush that you can imagine. Like it was super stiff and then like as soon as you use it just starts shedding. So these little straw pieces will end up in the paint. It was not a good experience that we had with it.
Speaking of brushes, there's those silicone brushes you use for like
for cooking
or whatever like that. I've used those in the past. Those work great for sensory play. They're awesome. And also they're silicone, so you can do whatever you want as far as cleaning them goes.
I have them for facials, not the sexual kind, like face masks.
Yeah.
That's just like a new way to apply it so you don't get like goop all over your fingers putting on a face mask. You get a silicone like spatula kind of brush and just swipe it on your face.
Yeah, they work great. Like,
but yeah, I didn't even think of using that in a sexual way.
Yeah, they're incredible on that format, especially if you use them like with some kind of base, either lube or something else you want to spread across the body. They're fantastic because they have really, really, really good sensation. And on top of that, they're super easy to clean because you just throw them in the dishwasher.
They're non-porous material.
Right. So silicone cone.
Very easy to clean.
So they work great.
So the next thing on my list is one of the pricier items. But if you're comparing it to actual sex toys, it's still pretty cheap. A shower head. Talking about the kind with the hose on it.
Oh, yeah. Because all the different massage settings.
Yeah. Well, and obviously it's a little more versatile than something that's like in a set position on the wall.
Yeah.
If you've got a hose, you can put it wherever you want it.
It's true.
That's good. That's good for solo play or playing with a partner.
Man, to me, shower sex has always been awkward.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, like everybody I've ever been with, it's just never been, it always sounds awesome and then you go off and do it and it's just like, it's, to me, it's always just awkward.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of shower sex, but that's more a temperature thing. Because, you know, I like my showers to be like the fires of hell.
Yeah.
And my husband likes his showers to be more on the polar ice cap end of the spectrum. So, yeah, we usually will have sex in the shower. Well, I mean, we won't usually have sex in the shower, but if we do have sex in the shower, it's like I'm just constantly under the warm water. And he's outside of the water, so it's not as hot, but the water still isn't as hot as I want it to be. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't really do much for me, my shower sex. Like, fucking around water is awesome, but, like, doing it in the shower, I don't know. It's always like, because there's always that, it's always like one person's too hot, too cold, or someone's out of the water, and it's just, I don't know. It's always a mess.
There's also the, like, slipping hazard, which they sell, like, handlebar attachments that you can put in your shower, like non-permanent things that just have heavy-duty suction cups on them, so that you can have a little, you know, oh shit handle.
Mm-hmm.
But shower sex is always kind of dangerous too, so there's that.
But there are, but you're saying like shower heads though, like there's all kinds of different shower heads, because I know they do, they make god, they have a whole selection of sex toys that go into like the bathroom shower and stuff like that too. But I'm sure the like sex toy shower heads are probably not cheap.
I've never bought a shower head from a sex toy shop. I've bought them, you know,
they sell
from
them,
like,
right?
From like grocery stores and stuff is where I buy them. I've never actually seen one at a sex shop, but I imagine there's a market for them there. Like, you can probably get them more on websites than you can.
I just looked them up. Yeah, I found one. Beach Bud has one. It's called Lisa Showerhead Male Masturbation.
And oh, those are the ones that have like the ring.
Yep.
On them, and then the water just comes out from the inside of the ring. Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, and then there's one for women as well. There's no price on this website though.
Well, that's not a good sign.
They look really expensive.
If you can't immediately tell what the price is, it's too much.
Let's see. California Exotics Colt Shower Shot Water Dong Dildo. Oh, it's only $28.48 on Amazon. It's a hose with a dildo at the end of it with holes that shoots out water.
Hmm. Yeah, California Exotics is not a great brand. No. I'm guessing that is not going to be a body-safe material that they're using on that.
Yeah, it looks...
Especially if it's $28 and it's something you're inserting.
No, $20.
$20.
It's only $20 and it's Colt.
If it's something that you insert that's cheap, it's probably not a body safe material.
I had Colt lube. I thought that was really good, but yeah.
cold shower shot, spraying water dong. And then, like, it says, like, frequently bought together, and it's really just shower accessories. Like a shower nozzle and a shower hose. So, what else you got on there?
It's a feather duster. Which you can buy those from sex shops, and they are way expensive. You get like two feathers on a little stick for like $20. But if you actually go to like the cleaning section of the store, you get an old fashioned feather duster for cheaper than that.
For like $2. You can find them at the dollar store. Like, yeah. There's times I see stuff at the sex shops, so I'm like, you can literally go to the store and buy this right now, and it'd be like way cheaper.
Yeah. Great for tickling. And again, for role play scenarios, if you want to do the classic French maid thing.
Yeah. Also, even like cat toys will have that effect where, you know, they have like feathers at the end and stuff like that. You can do stuff with cat toys.
Yeah. The drawback is that the cat toys usually also have jingle bells attached to them.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're not into Santa, you probably don't want to hear jingle bells playing the whole time.
There's this older comic, and it's just a one still comic, and a guy is tying up a girl like in bondage, and he has like the rope, and he's getting frustrated because the cat is like bouncing, like hitting the rope as he's trying to tie it. And she's like sitting there like laughing, and he's getting all frustrated between the girl and the cat. I don't know, it's really funny.
Oh, cats. The joy of cats.
But I definitely, anything with a feather on it, I would not buy it from a sex shop. You can easily go to a craft store or just get it on your own for a quarter of the price. Actually, even kind of going into that vein of like dangling something off a string, even like floggers. I've built a flogger out of nothing but duct tape to replace a leather flogger, and it worked just as well.
Mm-hmm. Duct tape is such a versatile medium.
Oh, I know. Especially if you, because I even bought pink and black duct tape. So I made a blue, because my wife loves pink and black. So I made a pink and black flogger straight out of duct tape. I made the flails out of duct tape, and then I made like the handle. I took a dowel rod, and then I just wrapped the flails around the dowel rod, and then I duct taped all that together. And it works great. Because my wife is vegetarian, so she doesn't like using anything leather based. So I always have to find alternatives from leather.
Yeah. I'm also a vegetarian, for any listeners out there who didn't know that.
But yeah, you wear leather though.
It's true. I do wear leather, but I will say that I don't buy leather new.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she doesn't like using anything leather. So being into BDSM and not liking leather is like the biggest fucking mindfuck, because it's like shit. Trying to find shit that's not made out of leather.
There's a lot of pleather stuff out there. I mean, even for people who don't have an objection to leather, pleather is a lot cheaper, so yeah. Companies use that for low production costs.
Sometimes like leather actually works better than like the fake leather.
Well, it's definitely more durable.
Yeah, it's more durable. But as far as like the flogger goes, like the duct tape flogger works great. That was one. The great thing about it too is you can make it as long as you want. Start off, and then if you realize it's too long, you just slowly trim it. Yeah. So, and on top of that, if you mess it up, all it costs you is a roll of duct tape. So yeah, it's one of our favorite impact toys that we have, actually, is the duct tape flogger. And I have made one out of vinyl as well, but I kind of like the duct tape one more. The vinyl one looks way more like professional and looks more like a proper leather flogger, but there's something ridiculous about the duct tape one that I like.
It's just your homey own brand of BDSM.
Yeah. I also made one out of I took apart a couple of bungee cords and I used the rubber inside of bungee cords and I turned them into a flogger. That one hurts like fuck.
Yeah, I've snapped myself with bungee cords before. I can imagine.
So, you know, like, you take it apart and there's all those like tiny frails of bungee inside all the rubber. So I took them. Yeah. I took like a couple of them apart and I spread them out and I turned it into a flogger. My wife loves it. I'm like, you're fucking crazy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's why she's a masochist and I'm a sadist. I'm more the sadist because I'm like, I'm a fucking weakling.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. So next on the list, the neck of a bottle. You can use a beer bottle. Make sure that you definitely don't do anything to break it. Not good for like any sort of rough or high impact play for sure. And yeah, definitely wash it first. But you can use a beer bottle.
Have you used it?
Yes. Yes, I have.
That just, to me, it does not sound like it would be something enjoyable.
it was actually pretty enjoyable. Like, it was me using the beer bottle on myself in front of my partner. But I thought it actually felt great. And I think it was because the head of it is like ridged.
Yeah.
So there's like a little more sensation.
I'd imagine like something like a Corona bottle would probably be better than like a Budweiser bottle.
I'm trying to remember what kind of beer it was now. I don't know. But it definitely had more of a curve to it. Like sort of a bulb. I don't know how to describe that. Like there's a ridge on the top of it and then it like bulbs out and back in and out again.
Oh, what kind of brand is that? It's gonna drive me nuts. But yeah, you're the first person I ever actually met that actually has used a beer bottle. I've seen it in porn and stuff like that, but I've never actually met anyone who actually has used a beer bottle before.
Yep. Well, now you know someone.
I don't know, man. To me, that would just be one of those things where I'd just be so afraid of it, like, busting, breaking.
Well, that's why you don't use it, you know, like vigorously or up against anything that's going to break. But
yeah,
you know, it's pretty much beer bottles don't typically break in your hand while you're like drinking. Yeah.
But even still, I'm just kind of like just like, I don't know. It's just the way my brain works. Like, I've just seen too many horror films.
Yeah.
And I've seen photos of like people like using glass and like in their orifices and having a break and shit like that. So,
well, yeah, I used it vaginally, but I can imagine that if you use it anally, you've got a little more pressure on it.
Like, it was kind of like the, like, I don't know, this was probably in like the early 2000s. So, like, kind of like before YouTube. But there was like a video circulating of a guy shoving a jar up his ass and having it shatter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You told me about that before.
I mean, we did talk about that one of the episodes before. But yeah, so ever since then, like anything glass-based, I'm just like, oh, God. It's like all I think about is this fucking jar breaking in this guy's ass and his blood just, ugh.
Okay, well, also, a jar is not built the same way that a bottle is.
Right, yes.
So the pressure that you put upon it and the width of the bottle, I think, would definitely factor into
withstand. Yeah, and it's also a much smaller tube than a jar. So,
yeah, and I feel like it's a thicker glass too, but maybe not. I don't know. How thick jars are versus the necks of beer bottles.
I would trust more of a wine bottle. Like those things, you know, you can throw them against a wall and they won't fucking break.
Throw them against a wall and they would break.
I've seen more beer bottles broken. I've even seen like breaking over people. So it's like, I'm always a little weary about beer bottles.
I don't think a wine like the neck of a wine bottle would be thick enough, though.
Yeah. And on top of that, too, you'd hit the base pretty quickly.
Yeah. Like, beer bottles definitely have a little more phallic girth to them.
Yeah. Wine bottles are a little more stubbier. Anyway.
So, next thing I have on my list, homemade vibrators.
Ooh.
Things that vibrate that you never thought to use as a vibrator before.
We talked about phones.
Yeah, we did talk about phones. One of the first things that I ever used as a vibrator was one of those vibrating pens. Have you seen those?
Oh,
they sell them in like the art supply section.
That was a huge thing in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Like
it was really popular in the 90s for whatever.
Yes, like that
was exactly it.
So like there's a vibrator on the top of the pen that you turn on, and then like as you write, it like puts a circular motion in the pen and it makes it look artistic, but it's a strong vibrator. So you can use those pens in a sexy way. Not the ink side, obviously.
No. Yeah.
Also.
Oh.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say also vibrating toothbrushes.
Oh yeah.
Which if you don't want to deal with the bristle part of that, you can put it inside of a sandwich baggie, and then use it as a vibrator.
Nice.
Pro tip. What were you gonna say?
I don't remember. We were talking. What was before the? The pens.
The pens that vibrate. Yeah.
I don't remember what I was gonna say. Sorry. Took us 2 hours to get set up, and I was drinking that entire time.
All right.
I was gonna say also like a game controller as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like PlayStation, especially like, okay, Metal Gear Solid, if you put it on the torture scene, the controller vibrates for a solid minute straight. At the highest, imagine, like...
You would have to have like an intimate level of the game that you're playing and where exactly you can put your character to make it vibrate. Yeah. Funny thing that has nothing to do with pervertibles, but I actually got through a difficult part of a video game using a vibrator.
Wow.
On the GameCube, I was playing, I think it was like Star Fox for the GameCube, and there's this one test that you have to do that's like a button mashing sort of thing, and you're up against like this super strong character, and you have to push the A button like as fast as you can to move the stick or whatever that you're fighting the other guy against.
And
I was so stuck on this part. Like, I just couldn't get it fast enough to, like, beat this guy. And then, like, I Googled, like, how the hell do I do this? And they're like, use a vibrator. So I put a vibrator on the button and beat it in, like, 2 seconds.
That's amazing.
So if you're stuck on the part of Star Fox, if you're still playing GameCube games and you're stuck on the Star Fox game where there's a strength test, just get out a vibrator. You'll get right past that trial.
Oh my god! Did you remember when the Harry Potter brooms came out?
Oh yes, I remember.
And they had a vibrator, two of them.
Controversy and so, recall.
Like, yes, this huge recall because like all these young girls were buying the Harry Potter brooms, and the parents like finally figured out why. It's because the entire broom vibrated.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would definitely have wanted that broom if that was popular.
I don't know if that's like marketing, like ridiculously stupid, or marketing being intelligent about that. I'm not sure, but
I don't think that's what they intended their product to be used for.
I think there was probably some person who was like, "Oh, they'll be like riding on magic with a vibrator on it."
Well, Sounds pretty magical to me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like the, you know, the 60-year-old engineer who's been smoking cigarettes his entire life trying to figure out how to make this fucking broom work. He's like, who the fuck thought of this shit?
Yeah. They used the Tickle Me Elmo doll for the same reason, too. The Tickle Me Elmo doll is known for vibrating for long periods of time while you're supposedly tickling him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of toys you use for that.
Which I think the Tickle Me Elmo doll came out around the same time as the Harry Potter vibrating broom.
Then, let's see, Harry Potter came out, like, the first movie came out in... Fuck, I don't know. It's like 98, 99, somewhere around there.
Yeah, well, that's probably around the same time that the Tickle Me Elmo doll came out. Because, like, I mean, Elmo was nothing new at that point.
Right.
But it was a new toy that they brought in. And, yeah, it's known as being a masturbatory aid for children.
Let's see. When did he come out? I'm actually looking it up. I'm trying to... 1996. Huh? 96 was the Elmo craze. And then the first Harry Potter movie came out, and I...
Well, did the broom come out with the movies, or did it come out after the books?
I think the broom came out after the movies. I think the broom came out in either...
Well, isn't it like the Nimbus 3000? Is that what
Yeah,
it
was. Mm-hmm. 2001. 2001 was when the vibrating broom came out.
So kind of close.
Yeah, it's about a 5-year gap, but yeah, close enough. Someone knew what the fuck they were designing. Someone knew. Like, they had to know that, like, well, you know, little girls are going to want to fucking buy this shit like crazy. Because that's exactly what happened. It was like there was this huge craze of like girls buying it, and they're like, why the fuck are all these white girls buying it? And then parents start complaining.
My daughter just goes to her room and wants to spend time with her Harry Potter doll every night. Not doll, but Harry Potter broom every night.
Speaking of pervertibles, there's a whole shit ton of them on Etsy, by the way.
On Etsy?
Yeah, Etsy has Etsy on like their BDSM stuff. Like, you do a deep dive into there. There's all kinds of crazy shit on Etsy. But if you go on Etsy, you just type in like pervertibles. There's all kinds of crazy shit on there. And like, it's really high priced. It's like, take the normal price of fucking Etsy and then just double it because it's a sex toy.
I have seen them sell like crystal dildos on there before. You know, like the rose quartz and semi-precious.
Power up your clitoris
stones.
With our...
Yeah.
Cleanse your clitoris with this crystal clear quartz dildo. Yeah. So what else you got on there?
I think that's it.
That was it?
That's pretty much it, yeah. I don't have a list.
But have you actually, like, made anything?
Well, I made one of my first sex toys, but I won't recommend it to anyone. So, yeah, I made a vibrator to masturbate with when I was a teenager. And I took one of those, like, battery-powered fans that you, like, you know, take to parades. And
I think we talked about this during our sex toy episode. I think we went over, like, our very first sex toys or whatever. You can tell the story again. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't remember telling it. Maybe. Okay. But yeah, I took like one of those battery powered fans and I took like the actual fan part off of it. And then I like hot glued on one of those like popper toys.
All right.
And then just let that spin around. And then I used that around the clitoris, which definitely got me off. But if you put it on your skin for too long, you definitely get friction burns. So so I would not recommend that. But at the time, with limited resources, it worked great for me.
I have tried to make vibrators before by like taking apart control, like old controllers and stuff like that. But my knowledge of like...
robotics.
robotics is not that advanced. So it's like, yeah, I have the motor here, but it's like you have to hook up to a 9-volt and then, you know, figure it all out. And it's just been, you know, it's like, or I make it and it's just like a piddly ant little vibrate. And it's like, okay, this is fucking stupid. And then like you can go online and actually find shit to make it, but the prices after you've made everything, it's like you might as well just fucking go out and buy one. That's what's also sometimes frustrating. I feel like you're like, oh man, I really want to make this thing, and you like look online, try to figure out how to make it. It's like, god, I for like,
and then like sometimes it'll even cost way more to make it than it does to buy it ready made.
I will say I did save a shit ton of money building our horse, though, because I actually went to a hardware store and they have a horse for like a sawhorse for like workbenches or whatever like that for like construction sites. And I think it's called Rodeo something. And it's like it's made out of wood, or it's like Bronco or something like that. And literally it's like, has a bull on the side, and I bought it and then I reinforced it, painted it. I sanded it, reinforced it. I painted it black. Then I added, I went to the craft store. I bought cushions and then I bought vinyl. And then I actually like made a part on the horse where you can actually like, I designed it so you can actually either sit or stand on it. So yeah, I've spent a lot of time and effort on that. That was probably, but I wouldn't say that's necessarily cheaper, but I mean, after everything was said and done with just supplies, I think I spent about $75. If you want to buy a horse, they're like base is like $250. So I did spend a shit ton of time on it though.
Yeah. You got to factor your time into that.
Time into it. But it was a Christmas gift to my wife. So.
And what a Christmas gift that is.
Oh, she was so excited. She was like, because like for a month, I had like corner off our basement.
You have to hide that from the person that you're living with.
Like, yeah, it's like she would scare me all night like building shit. She's like, what are you making down here? I'm like, don't worry about it. She had no idea.
I think my husband's the Unabomber. He's down there building pipe bombs or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Fucking, that was ridiculous. That took forever. And then, like, learning how, like, attack furniture and all that shit. So, yeah.
You learned a lot of valuable skills, though.
Yeah. I also took a old bicycle tube. And this is another one you can use. You can slice up an old bicycle.
You mean like a pump?
No, like the tube that goes inside like the wheel. So like there's the tube that goes inside like the rubber wheel part.
And this is news to me. I didn't know there was a tube inside of the wheel. Like I thought it was just a...
No, there's the rubber tube that you blow up, you know, that's like the part that actually holds the air. Well, you can take that, and that makes a great for impact play as well. It's just straight rubber. That could fucking hurt too. So yeah,
there's... I didn't even know that was a thing in existence.
Yeah, I guess also like we've shopped a lot in like the pet area too of stores, especially dollar stores, and you get all kinds of stuff. Even collars can be turned into cuffs depending on what size and what they are. Again, you know, my wife doesn't use anything leather, so we always have to kind of like go outside of our, you know, areas of just going to a sex shop. And on top of that too, buying like leather cuffs from a sex shop, they're like so expensive. So
I've got the fancy ones. They're not leather, but I've got like the sport sheets under bed restraints that have like the faux fur lining on them, and they're like all like cushy plush velvet.
We do have one pair of leather cuffs that she bought off a leather maker because they're so cheap and so well made that she couldn't say no to. And those are our wrist cuffs. And then with those,
did you get those at the Renaissance Festival?
No, she bought them at some convention in California. But, that wasn't even for, it was like a New Age convention. It wasn't even a sex convention. It was like a new age convention, but there was a leather worker there and they had these cuffs. And then I went to the hardware store and bought actual metal chains and I connect those to the bottom of our bed. So yeah, the under support like sports seats, like no, fuck that. We're just gonna go straight for like legit. Like after I tie her up, she has to spend 5 minutes to make sure that she can't get out of it before we even get started. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I guess then, I'm never really trying to get to get out of this restraint.
Most people are just like, hey, you know, like yeah, this is fun. Like no, for her, it's like no. If I can get out, then fuck you. You did this wrong. So I have hardcore. To like sit there and make sure. Yeah. So I have to make sure that she is like fastened in, that she can't go anywhere. So yeah, that's why I bought like industrial chains again, you know, talking about pervertibles, like go to the hardware store, man. Like you can find all kinds of crazy shit for next to nothing. But I bought like legit like metal chain. And support and was able to connect it to our bed frame. Then now went to the cuffs, so she couldn't go anywhere.
Wow.
And then we had leather wrist cuffs. And for the leg cuffs, I actually made the leg cuffs from old belts. I just measured up her ankles so they actually fit her perfectly. This is why we want to do a BDSM. I know, right? This is why we want to do a BDSM episode. But yeah.
Yeah, we should save some of this for the BDSM episode.
But yeah. So anyway. So yeah, there's all kinds of crazy shit that I've had to make. I had to borrow a friend's power. What kind of drill is it? It's the one. It's a hammer drill. Because I had to hammer into cement to build a St. Andrew's cross, and the only way I could do it was with a hammer drill. And I told him I was building shelves in my basement.
He doesn't need to know.
No, it's like he doesn't need to know that I'm building a St. Andrew's cross and that's the bolted into my freaking cement wall in my basement. No.
When you said drill, I totally thought you were gonna say you got a drill toe. Which is not something that you would want to borrow.
No. Which, I don't know. When it came to like those really, really high, crazy shit, like the fuck machines or whatever like that, at that point, unless you really know what the fuck you're doing, I'd probably just buy one from the store.
Yes.
Like the drill toes, I'd be afraid of like fucking something up with that.
I know. Like for the longest time, I was so terrified of drilldos because I'd only seen them in porn. Like I didn't really know what a drilldo was. I thought it was like right. Just like a fucking drill with a dildo on it. I'm like, well, won't the drill go right through the silicone of the dildo?
This is why you don't make your own.
Kill you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's terrible.
Yeah, if you're thinking about just drilling into a dildo, like, here he is. Like, no, as soon as that dildo gets caught on something, the drill's going to go right through it.
Yeah, no. Which the dildo does use, like, a regular drill, but it's not, right. Like, a drill bit. It's an attachment to it.
The attachment goes onto the drill. So, when it comes to that type of things, yeah, like, you know, use your smarts.
Yeah.
Again, it comes down to if you're not willing to use it on yourself, don't use it. Like, don't do it.
The drill dough is not a good starting point. No. It's more an advanced tool.
But yeah. But again, like the dollar store is such a friend when it comes to like pervertibles, like especially when it comes to like spanking. Like, you should never have to spend any money on a spanking toy because you can pretty much find anything you need at a dollar store. And if you're really into like high impact stuff, they even sell like the very, very large paddles at like craft stores designed like be decorated and hang on the wall. And you can get those and just sand them down and then just put a finish on it. And then there you go. You're ready to go with a giant fucking wooden paddle.
Lots of fraternities use those for hazing like they're not supposed to.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I remember my grandfather had one of those hanging in the closet. Like it was like a giant paddle, but you know, it had the Greek letters on there, like alpha, omega, beta, or whatever, whatever it was. But, yeah, that's a common thing used among fraternities, those custom paddles.
I never understood it. Don't get it.
Obviously, neither of us have been in a fraternity either.
No, probably won't. Yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else that we missed on, like, pervertibles.
You know what? Pervertibles are exactly what you make them. Use your imagination. Pretty much anything can be used for a sexual purpose. If you can dream it, you can fuck it.
Yeah. I was saying, if it comes to like a hardware store, or if you go to like a hardware store or like a kitchen store, like Bed Bath & Beyond, just let your mind just wander into the gutter and you will see all kinds of crazy shit that you can use.
You'll probably creep out the sales associates. You're just standing there drooling, staring at
Oh, there's stuff I haven't even gotten into. I'm saving it for the BDSM episode.
All right. I feel like this was kind of a heavy BDSM episode as it is.
When it comes to pervertibles, it's kind of like, again, like we were talking about, unless you're going to make a dildo or a vibrator, a lot of it is more sensory play.
Yeah.
So it's going to involve more impact, or like you start off with like clothespins or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's tons of stuff out there. You just got to look for it. And you can save yourself some money, especially in today's world.
Yeah. In today's terrible economy. So pervertibles are a win-win situation.
Right. And on top of that, if you do a deep dive into a Google search for them, you'll see all kinds of crazy, awesome ideas you can find.
Yeah. Google pervertibles. See what comes up.
So anyway, want to thank you for listening in our episode. I know it's been kind of a gap since our last one, but we are going to get back into it, and that's our plan. So you can always follow and find us on Twitter at Libertine Show, use the hashtag AskLibertines. You can find us online at FriskyTipsyLibertines.com. We want to thank to all of those who follow us. We did hit over a thousand followers not too long ago, so that was a little thing to us.
Thank you, guys.
I want to thank to everyone who's been sharing their stories and their experiences and everything like that. If you have anything that you want us to review with like stories or anything like that, or even sex toys or your own pervertibles, you know, just hit us up. Again, you can use our email, ask@friskytipsylibertines.com. Once again, I'm Scott.
And I'm Janet. And you've been listening to the Frisky Tipsy Libertines podcast.